Are you bound to a lie, bound to sin, or any bondage? The Bible says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. For the Layman is a program that will equip you to set the captives free. Here now is Reverend Greg Donation gives you pointers in your search for freedom. For whom the sun sets free is free indeed.
Hi, and welcome once again to another presentation of our program For the Layman. By now, it's clear to most of those who have been on this program before that we want to equip our lay people for their work of the ministry. But in case you have just joined us the first time, this program is specially set aside to meet a need in the lives of people who are not clergy and not ordained as full-time ministers, but who want to serve the Lord in their general office of believer. And we have covered many topics in the past, like, for example, healing, deliverance, preaching, counseling, etc. We've also looked at discipleship. And one aspect of discipleship that we just began to touch on last time is that of culture. Nobody can be a disciple in a vacuum. And God had designed the family unit to be the machine that will produce the godly Christian culture that God wanted to have established. The scripture that I would like us to look at as a kickoff is 1 Timothy 2 verse 9. And while folks who are at home are turning to their Bibles, I would like to say that the scripture is the one that determines the kind of biblical godly culture we will maintain if we are obedient and if we are truly disciples. So we are shaped by our obedience to the scriptures. And that obedience to the scripture, that lifestyle that comes from there, is what we call the Christian culture. Now, the Christian culture is radically different from the culture of this world. And we are sitting in a situation where we can really doubt whether present-day believers are still willing to undergird and stand by a truly Christian culture. So we have to kick off right from the outset by asking the question, if Scripture then is what forms and shapes the biblical culture that we have, because we obey what the Scripture says and from there a culture comes, I must ask myself, what is Scripture to me? In other words, do I still believe that it is God's word? And if it is, what should be my relationship in terms of that word?
No, it's so important that one has to constantly be in the Word, because the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh, and the Word and the flesh dwelt amongst us. So we need to understand these things from the very outset, that in the Word we can get victory in many aspects in our lives, in any situation you put in. Like, I know many years ago we were challenged with some things, like when I greet somebody, I will shake their hand, I won't hug them, or I won't kiss the either side of the cheek, and somebody took me to task with it. But you know, the Bible says greet with a holy kiss. Why you just put your hand out and greet? And one was, this is what the Bible says, this is what you need to do. But as we mentioned, the Bible is there to give us guidance. But at that time, what was the reason to greet with a holy kiss? What was the context of the whole thing? And one has to understand that, and then you realize we're not living now in that time. We are living now, years, 2,000 years later, where there's so much of spirits that are hindering around. And these are transferal of spirits when you hug each other, when you get too close, and also now with the act of adultery that's happening and all these other things that's taking place. One has to be very mindful. So this handshake is perfect. It's nothing. It's not like you never hug me or you don't show me so much of love. No, it doesn't mean that. But some, with the experience and the counseling that we are busy with, many of them fell into a trap when they used to hug people and used to greet them in that specific way.
Yeah, there should actually be a clear understanding in Christian circles that a married man does not hug an unmarried girl, neither does he hug another married woman. because of all the drama that can come as a result of that. Let's suppose such a man's heart is completely clean, which we can really put a question mark over. I mean, I can tell you my heart is clean, but just because I tell you my heart is clean doesn't mean my heart is clean.
True.
I may be hoodwinking you. I may be deceiving you. I may even be lying to myself. So in terms of the relationship between the sexes, it is a very dangerous thing for a married man to go and hug a person of the opposite sex, whether they are married or not married. It's not just what is in your heart, but it is the kind of signal that you are sending out, the impression that other people may have, and the strain that it may put on the marriage relationship.
Exactly.
So we can really courteously greet, and we can respectfully acknowledge one another, but there are limits to that because of propriety, you see. You never know when you behave in such a way that it can be possible for you to actually put a burden or a strain on your spouse for that matter. And that can come back and bite you, because you'll have to deal with the nuclear fallout at home afterwards.
Exactly.
That's why there needs to be a principle. Now, there are some guidelines in the scriptures regarding this. It is true that the Bible says that we must greet each other with a godly kiss. And that is like you would see often in the French, European, Middle Eastern, and even South American cultures, where they will hold each other by the shoulders. They will move forward, put one cheek to the other cheek, and then on the other side, other cheek to the other cheek. And it's so they're so used to that, that there is absolutely no strange kind of something attached to that at all. They are just going according to how for many centuries they have practiced it. But coming back then to the fact that we should have a scriptural grounding for everything that we do, I ask the question still, what is scripture to me? This is important, because you will notice that one of the reasons why the Christian church as a whole has moved away from a biblical culture is because they no longer believe the scriptures. That's the problem. So we need to ask, what is the scripture mean? Do I still believe it is God speaking to me? How many Christians do you think, Barnes, would be honest enough to say, yes, it is really God speaking to me in the Bible?
You get rated on.
Yeah.
And that's the honest fact, because it doesn't apply, it means nothing to them. So is this alive? I mean, if you can't beat them, you join them.
Yes.
And we are called to be peculiar, holy nation.
Yes.
So how will you become and resemble those things?
Yeah. And now the question is, where do you start? Because everything has gone so crazy. If you come and you go back to the scriptures, they've got so used to not following the scriptures. What does one do? Let's take a short break. We are back again after that music break, and I think what we agreed upon was that the average believer today does not take God's word seriously and does not see it really as God's word. Okay. They will say it's the Bible. They pay lip service to it. But the thought that I should actually obey what is written in there is far from them.
Exactly. You know what it reminds me? I'm going to use an illustration to you. This some time ago, somebody's mom fell and got hurt. And I was with the person, and immediately the immediate reaction in myself was, you know what, let's go there immediately. And the person that's the mom, he said, no, let's pray. And I agreed to pray. Yes, we must pray. And after we prayed, I expected now that we're going to leave now and go to see one's mom, to see what's the extent, how can we. And the person still continued to sit down and chat. And I said, aren't we going to go? He says, no, a prayer is more important and more powerful than us going there to be there now. There's nothing that a prayer can't do. And that's what opened my eyes of my heart as well, like what you just mentioned now. It's just prayer and believing in God's word. So that doesn't mean that person now is hugging, he's more holy than you. He is closer to God.
Yes.
But you see, humanly speaking, now that's where humanism creeps in. And we need to understand, humanism is not part of your walk as a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It is like the narrow, the perceived, and the broad way.
Yeah.
And the perceived way is so close to the narrow way that brings in humanism in there and go along with the narrow way. But you're not walking the narrow road. So one has to understand these things here when it comes to the greeting, when it comes to people, your behavior towards people, how you react. Because at the end of the day is we are careful that we don't get caught. And then the devil put traps out there.
Yeah.
And as you said, if you're married, you have no right to hug another woman.
Yes.
You don't have a right.
Yes.
And that spirit that we need to take down as from the beginning. I am a married man. I've already given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had blessed me with a wife. And she is my prized possession.
Yes.
So there's no other thing that will come between myself and my wife.
Yes.
So you once you discern that among yourself and take it and believe it in your heart, it becomes easy. Like I meet a lot of, in our walk, a lot of female. And they come to hug you. And then you just put your hand out and say, no, I prefer a handshake.
Yeah.
They say,
yeah.
But you're my brother.
Yeah.
From another mother. Mm. I said, that can all be fine, but I will prefer an handshake.
Yes.
And they respect you for it.
Yeah. Because you see, let's suppose a woman comes and hugs you. Let's suppose you are innocent, your mind is clear, nothing. You think nothing of that, which, you know, is a tall order considering what human nature is like.
Mm.
But you don't know how it affects your wife.
Exactly.
You may look at her, she may smile, you think, oh, she's broad-minded. But meanwhile, inside her, she's not happy with that situation.
Exactly.
I've seen people, men, hug my wife, and I want to tell you, I could see they were kind, they meant nothing by it, but I did not like it. Mm-hmm. I was not happy with that at all.
Exactly.
I don't want them to hug my wife. So you create a tension. You want to do that. You... and I also almost want to say selfishly want to go ahead and you want to do, I don't know what your motives are,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not proper. It's inappropriate. And therefore, even in the churches, we must not think that demonstration just exhibits the love that we have for one another. It may be another form of love which will come back and bite us because we underestimate the powers of darkness and what they can do in situations like that.
True, because, you know, that's for me personally, and I take it from God's word as well, if you are so much in that type of way you should be greeting and way you should be hugging each other, it should be like mentioned quite often in the Bible, make sure you do like this. But Paul, you know, Paul comes into the picture in the New Testament. He brings it out so clearly. Greet. I greet you with the greeting of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm.
I bring you this greeting. I bring it. So he is teaching us as a new church.
Yeah.
This is what you do now. This is what I have not come, because the Lord said, I've not come to abolish, but I've come to fulfill a new commandment I give unto thee, love one another.
Mm.
But we misconstitute the word there, love there. Because we tend now to say, okay, now you accept every little thing that comes in. The person can come in with his smoking of cigarette. Yes, he will come, but he will be changed.
Yes.
He will not promote that anymore.
Yes.
He'll realize, you know what, I'm entering now because this body has become the temple of the Holy Spirit. I cannot do these things anymore. But if you acknowledge it and say, no, don't worry, my brother, in God's time, you're going to be delivered from this and God will set you free. You know, I was smoking for so many years and all. It doesn't build that, brother. That's the wishy-washy love, the humanistic love that comes in.
Yes.
But if you say, my brother, that is sin.
Yes.
That separates you from God. That will rob you from entering heaven.
Yes.
Then you look at it and say, hey, now that's the person that I want to be with because he has my interest at his heart.
Yeah. You know, Bans, there was a book that was written some years ago, quite a number of years ago. I was a new Christian when it came on the market. And that was From Witchcraft to Christ by Doreen Irvin.
Mm-hmm.
It was her testimony. And I had never read it up until a certain point in time, many years later, after we had already been involved in deliverance and helping people come free from bondage. And her context in which she came to the Lord as a witch was the United Kingdom. So she was in Britain, and there were those who helped her, and they prayed with her, and she was going through the process of deliverance. But, you know, it took 15 months for her, regarding one facet of her deliverance before the power was broken, 15 months. And I was quite interested to know how come it took so long. And then just something that she mentioned casually, how that during all that period that they were praying for her, she was still smoking. And then the time came that she stopped with the smoking. And then it just happens that they also prayed for her during that time, and then she was delivered, she was set free. Why did she not give up the smoking right in the beginning? Why did she prolong her agony for 15 months? Obviously because she didn't have light, and those who were helping her didn't have light. They didn't realize that this smoking is a worse drug than ganja or cocaine or heroin or anything else. It's more, I mean, I have seen people give up those things, but they can't give up smoking. Just shows you how strong and how powerful it is. The devil really has a hold over people's lives through smoking. So her deliverance was prolonged because nobody addressed it and said, you know, Doreen, if you want to come free, you're going to have to break with that smoking. So instead of praying just for your deliverance, we want to pray that God will give you the victory, the power to turn against that smoking, to renounce it and break away from it. The success that we've had in the work that we've done amongst the addicts and these people is when they know this must stop. We're not going to go any further. You can't come here and get help unless it stops. That's when we have breakthroughs in
and
their
victory.
Lives. Yes, and victory.
Yeah, you know, what helped me to understand it in the very early years, Pastor Greg, and when the Lord says, go and make disciples. He don't say go and make converts.
Yes.
Now, it's very easy to make converts.
Yes.
And make
yes.
You go out there and you just meet the wants of people, not the needs, but the wants of people. You'll make converts. You can fill your church to capacity.
Yeah.
Some churches will go on to extend of bringing sound systems and everything because they want to bring it so the people can come into the church. But if you want to make disciples,
yes,
that's when you reproduce after the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And that means now where you got to give your time, where you got to constantly, that's why we have a counseling ministry where you can sit with people and counsel, where people have you at close at heart to hear from God what is right for you and will tell you. Like with the many of the guys that are substance abuse, when they come here, we tell them straight away, you cannot bring this into the premises. They say, some of them say, no, but I just got, I'll finish. No, you can't. You take this and go out with you. You go out and you don't come back. When you realize and you don't want it no more, then you can come back here. So we start there at the ground root level. So that's why we're having victory with the many that are coming here.
Yes.
Because they understand you cannot come with this.
Yeah.
You know, often said, hey, I spent so much for this packet of 20 cigarettes. It's going to break my heart now to destroy it or to throw it away. Can I give it to somebody? You say, no, you cannot even give it to somebody. You got to destroy it. You got to break it.
Yes.
You got to burn it because you got no more. Because this contract that this demon or this enemy made with you, it has to be broken. It has to be canceled. By you passing it on, with that contract still stands with you. So then they understand, hey, true. Just like how I go and apply for a cell phone contract or maybe a car contract or a house contract. I can't renegade. I can't get out of this till it's completely finished off. Then only I can start in a new life. So that's what we try to encourage our listeners who are out there. And some of the things are is, hey, but you know, I've been smoking for so many years. There's no harm, but you're not living a victorious life.
Yes. But let's take another music break.
Jesus Christ, have mercy on me.
We're back again. Bons, what I'd like to do, since we started this thing as far as Christian culture is concerned, and that it is based on scripture, and the question that we need to ask, do I still believe it's God speaking to me? The scriptures impart to us an understanding of what God's will was. Now, we obey the scriptures because the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, how will it be in heaven? We need to think, how will people live there? What will they do there?
Mm-hmm.
What will their attitudes be? How will they interact with one another? How will they appear? What will their appearance be like? Surely there's one word that can describe that, and that is that it will be glorifying to God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the family, the home, was supposed to be the place where culture is cultivated. So father and mother were supposed to be role models as examples to their children. Now, they even if they argue, but we are only human, that's right. But they don't have to depend on their own strength. If they've really come to God and they really want to live for him, then they will be in a relationship with him, and they will tap the necessary power and strength down from him to be able to be those role models. I quote a scripture from 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. Well, verse 8, he starts off by saying, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. And by the way, that is going to be the theme for the men's breakfast that's coming up. But it goes on to say in verse 9, I also want women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. From that big sentence, I want to bring out one important word, and that is modesty. So that means the Christian culture is a culture marked by modesty.
Exactly.
Every woman, if they want to be a woman of God, they need to ask themselves, am I dressed modestly? Am I behaving modestly? Do I sound like somebody selling fish on the marketplace? Am I conveying a picture, ugly picture of somebody possessed by the evil one rather than what I demonstrate even in the intimacy of my home, that this is a godly woman, this is a godly man, these are godly children? That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I see, you know, with so much of acts that are coming into this country and society, there's women there, women's rights, there's human rights, there's children days and all those things that's been celebrated. And even like just recently, they celebrated Mother's Day. Now, that's all the worldly system that is brought into the church and is bombarding the church. And the church is taking ownership of that now and celebrating these events, these pagan, I will say pagan events, because the Bible says, honor your mother and father.
Yes.
You don't say you when, where, and how. Yes. But it says honor so that it will go well with you.
Yes.
When will it go well with you? So that's a sentence once was processed. I need to honor my mother and father daily.
Yes.
So that it goes well with me.
Yes.
Daily.
Yes.
And you cannot underline that anymore. But then when a church takes hold of it and I say, yes, let's celebrate this. Yes, let's bring this into the church. Let's continue on all these things. You're basically asking the Lord to be removed from the church.
Yeah.
You're taking the word of God out of the church.
Yeah.
And you're bringing these kind of pagan festivals into the church. And then a child that grows up will say, okay, on this specific Sunday, the second Sunday of May, is Mother's Day, we'll do this, we do that. Now, statistics have shown that many mothers, I'm talking the wealthy mothers, that have been blessed beyond you can even imagine, when they receive gifts like R1 million, a car, or a 2 million rand ring, or big houses, or whatever. And what would you rather preferred for Mother's Day? If only my child could call me and say, I love you, Mom.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you see.
And what is that? That is priceless.
Yes.
And that's what God demonstrated, his love. And when he speaks about that love, that unconditional love, not that way you have to go now and do something to earn this love. It is something that he gave upon that cross to say, your sins have been taken away. So that you could be reconciled. We go back to the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve, they had a perfect setup.
Yeah.
Sometime, you know, I wonder why I work so hard. If Adam and Eve didn't do what they had done in the garden, we would have had paradise down
Absolutely.
Here. But because of fallen nature, the human heart, we have to face the consequences that goes on. And Eve was told, and Adam, you can eat of every fruit except the fruit in the middle.
Yeah. Bonds, the time has caught us, the clock has run down, and we have to wrap up. If I can just summarize, God wants us to demonstrate a Christian culture.
Modestly.
That culture is based on the Word of God.
Amen.
If we start doubting God's Word, we're going to see a breakdown in the culture.
Exactly.
And the outcome is going to be wayward and rebellious children, divorce and immorality, unfaithfulness, etc.
Exactly.
The cement that ties all of this together is modesty. Let's hope our folks will say, I am going to walk that way. So folks, we're saying goodbye and God bless. Hope you'll tune in next time, Barnes.
Thank you, Pastor Greg.